So then first we reject the mind and then we engage the mind. See, yes, there is often within our way of presenting philosophy, the mind is always depicted as bad. But the fact is that we have to live with the mind. Now, if we start to say loathing or hating the mind, it's not going to work, because the mind is an essential part of the mechanism by which we function in this world. So the mind is what channels the soul's consciousness to the body and through the body to the outside world. So we need the mind for functioning in this world. So in that sense, the mind can be compared to a horse. Now if a person is on a ranch where there is a lot of territory to be covered, they need a horse to move around. But if the horse is wild, the horse may knock them down, the horse may stampede on them, injure them and kill them. So they have to be alert to make sure that they are not just wounded by the horse. But at the same time, they can't hate the horse. They have to use the horse. So the mind is like a horse. That's why the same Gita verse which says the mind can be the enemy, it also says it can be the friend. The same Gita verse which says, Uddhare Dhatman Atmanam Naatmanam Asali. It doesn't say reject the mind, it says elevate yourself with the mind. So we shouldn't have, we have to have a caution in dealing with the mind. We can't, so if I am riding a horse, then I cannot just think that the horse knows whatever is good for me and I go wherever the horse starts going. I have to be aware of where I want to go and I have to make sure whether the horse is going in that direction or not. So similarly, we cannot just ride a horse of the mind and go wherever it wants. So we have to have some sense of distancing from the mind. That every single thought that comes in my mind, every feeling that I have, it is not necessarily my thought, it is not necessarily my feeling. So I have to philosophically understand the difference between me and my mind. But we can't reject the mind in the sense that we can't hate the mind or we can't live without the mind. The mind is there and it is a part of the instrument that we need for functioning in this world, for serving Krishna or for whatever purpose we are doing in this world. So we have to learn to regulate the mind. Just like a horse rider has to learn, okay, this is what causes the horse to go wild, this is what causes the horse to come under control, and this is how I can manage the horse. So similarly, we have to know our mind and find out what agitates the mind and try to avoid exposure to that. Try to see what calms the mind and we use that. And that way we move onwards. We all have to learn to manage our mind. Now we have to live with our mind. We can't reject the mind in the sense of and live without it. We have to live with it. And that's why if we consider Varanashram. In Varanashram we talk about the vritti, Brahminical nature or Kshatriya nature, Vaishya nature. Now where is this nature situated? It is in the mind. The soul is not Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And the body may have certain physical characteristics. Now, Kshatriya may be well-built or whatever. But then that particular attraction or inclination to do certain actions, that is present in the mind. And the Bhagavad and the broad Vedic philosophy doesn't tell us to reject, your Brahmanical nature. You want to do Brahmanical activity, that is Maya. It doesn't say that. It says, use the Brahmanical nature for serving Krishna. That means, if we consider right now our emotions, they can be classified in three broad categories. They are the sensual emotions, which are to be regulated. And there are the emotions which arise according to our nature. So a Brahmana likes to read, likes to study. A Kshatriya likes to manage, likes to delegate, likes to organize. So now this like is not to be rejected. This like is to be dovetailed. In a way that it can be used for serving Krishna. And then there are spiritual emotions. Emotions directly which the spiritual stimuli evoke in the soul. So those, whenever they come, we cherish them, we treasure them, and we try to nourish and help them grow. But primarily, we'll be having these two emotions. Now, even in the Varanashram also, Brahmana may like to read, but say while reading, I may start reading Mayavadi books because they're very nicely written, very nice word jugglery. I may start reading atheistic books. That regulation I have to make sure. Okay, I don't re-expose myself. Just because I like intellectual things, that doesn't mean anything intellectual will go. I have to find out the intersection between the intellectual and the devotional and situate myself over there. So it's not that we reject the mind entirely. It is that within the mind, there are certain forces which are anti-devotional, which we have to avoid. And there are certain forces which are pro-devotional, which we have to channel. So the mind has to be we have to come to some sort of working relationship with our mind, isn't it? we have to work with the mind. So we have to come to a working relationship. If we can't continuously keep doing all the things that we don't like to do, we will feel choked by that. So within bhakti, we find the whole principle of Varnashram is, see, everybody has to face problems in material life. The genius of Varnashram is that it allocates to people the problems that they like to face. A Brahmana likes to study. Now, studying is a challenge. If you tell a Brahmana, you know, okay, this verse, there's some verse in scripture which says this. Find out this verse. Now, if you tell a Vaishya that thing, Vaishya will say, what is the need? You know, you speak without the verse. Who will want to notice? Isn't it? A Brahmana will look forward to it and delight in that. On the other hand, if you tell a Brahmana, you know, we want to raise 5 crore rupees to build a big temple. And the Vaishya will say, hey, wonderful, yes, I'll go and raise money. Brahmana will say, anyway, after building the temple, you want to study Shastra only. Why do you need a 5 crore temple? So we have to find out, we have to come to a working relationship with our mind, where we have to do some things which are a part of our service, but it's not that our life is 24 hours regulated, you know, you have to do this. So if we have to study Shastra, we have to find out which book inspires us. Initially, there's a pattern that we follow, this book. But eventually, some devotee may find a greater connection with Bhagavatam, some may find with CC, some may find with Bhagavad Gita. And sometimes we may find, you know, okay, this devotee's classes I like a lot. And it's not that, that is just the way we are channeling our mind. So we have to find out how we can situate ourselves in an intersection between what the mind likes and what is within the realm of bhakti. And then we can move forward studying. Okay, thank you.